Turn in the Word of God to Psalm 119. I'll read verses 17 to 24, the third section. Psalm 119, verses 17 to 24. Excuse me. Psalm 119, verses 17 to 24. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, what is your plan for reading the Scriptures in 2023? What is your plan? Is it, are you starting a new reading the Bible in a year plan today? Hopefully, getting past Leviticus when you get to that part and you're reading the Bible in a year plan. Are you planning perhaps this year to slow down and focus in on smaller portions of Scripture and spending more time thinking through them and meditating on them and praying over them? Or perhaps are you just carrying on with your regular routine of time in the Old and New Testaments? Boys and girls, are you perhaps learning to read? Maybe you're just learning and you're starting to read. You can make a plan with your parents to think, what can I do? How much can I read? A little bit every day to start to read. That's the main goal of learning to read. There's lots of great literature out there, lots of wonderful things to enjoy, but nothing better or more important for you to read than the Word of God. The importance for all of us to read the Word of God consistently cannot be overstated. This is not man's word about God. This is God's word to us about Himself. This is God saying, I'm revealing myself to you. It's not even that we wanted to have Him reveal Himself to us. He gave it to us so we would know who it is that has created us, what it is that He desires of us and desires for us, and how we can live and walk before Him. It is God's Word which is given. It is without error. It is inerrant. It is infallible. It is inspired, given by God Himself. And is profitable for you, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that you, as a child of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. If you want to do good this year, if you want to do good works this year, you need to be in the Word of God so that you would understand how it is you can do good, that is, through the cross of Christ alone, and what it is that is good, what God determines is good for you to do. On top of whatever must-read list of books you might have for 2023, the Scriptures always need to be there, this year and next year and the year after that. It's true for everyone in the world. It's especially true of the Christian. And that's our focus as we come and think again about entering into a new year. Here again is a message about that, and a message particularly about a message from the Word about the Word. And it's appropriate for us to turn to Psalm 119 to consider the value of the Word of God and our love for the Word of God, because this is a love poem written to not just the Word of God, but to the God of the Word. It is a psalm that is overflowing with love and desire and delight in God's truth. In fact, we find here in this psalm. We have several words for the word that come up repeatedly through this whole psalm. We have word and statutes and judgments and law and we have testimonies, and this is all these words describing that word of God, God's revelation to us. Psalm 119 is an acrostic poem. That is, there are one section for each letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and in each of those sections, each verse begins in the Hebrew with that letter. And it's written, it's an intentional poem. It's written with much thought and devotion to God's Word to praise God for what He has given. And so we come to the third section, to the section for the letter Gimel, which means that in Hebrew every verse would start with the G sound. Now some, again, some have accused the psalmist here of worshiping the Word. We do not worship the Word. We worship the God of the Word. We're not bibliolaters. We don't worship the Bible. But we recognize that God has given us His Word so we can come to Him in truth. We can worship Him in spirit and in truth. And Psalm 119 is no different. The psalmist is not worshiping the Word, it's devotion to God. Willem van Gemeren writes that this is a psalm not only of law, but also of love. Not only of statute, but also of spiritual strength. Not only of devotion to precept, but also of loyalty to the way of the Lord. The beauty in this psalm resounds from the relationship of the psalmist and his God. And you and I will not love the Word of God if we do not love God Himself. If we do not come to Him in the way He's provided through Christ and by His Spirit to drink in the truth about Him. So we're going to take our time, this section this afternoon, to consider, look to our God and consider Him from this section, and to consider our need to be in the Word. In this new year, prayerfully look to God's Word to receive His instruction, comfort, and protection for living in this world. In this new year, prayerfully look to God's Word to receive His instruction, comfort, and protection for living in this world. Verses 17 and 18, there is a call to desire God's instruction for life. Verses 19 to 20, desiring God's comfort for life. And finally, in verses 21 to 24, desiring God's protection for life. Desiring God's instruction, comfort, and protection for life. The psalmist recognizes, as he comes and he desires God's instruction, he recognizes that he needs God in order to live well. He knows that he cannot live well without God. That's true. And the reality, and the glorious reality, is that God knows this as well, that we cannot live for Him without Him or without knowledge about Him. And God, in His great mercies, has gifted us the Scriptures. I don't care what you received for Christmas. There's nothing that even comes close. You can pile up all the gifts you've ever received over the years. That doesn't even come close to the great and glorious gift that God has given to us in the Scriptures. Recognize it's not the greatest gift God has given to us. He's given us His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But we know and learn and come to love Him as God works in our hearts through the Scriptures. He's gifted us with the Scriptures. These are words for life, instruction for true life. Now, the psalmist recognizes this. He doesn't start, and he recognizes his need for God. Notice preparation of a reading plan. He doesn't start with thinking, okay, how can I break this down? What's the best way? Let me get all the good commentaries or get the best study Bible. No, he begins with prayer. He begins praying to God to teach him the Word. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your Word. He prays to God that God would pour out upon him every blessing that he needs. Everything he needs that so that he could live and keep the Word of God. That's what he wants life for. We can pray for long life, but what do we want long life for? Are we using the life God gives us to serve ourselves or to serve Him? And here, the psalmist, he says, give me all your blessings in life. Give me everything. Pour out your bounty upon me that I might live and keep your words, that I might know it and obey it. He knows how utterly dependent he is upon God as he comes in prayer. He says, deal bountifully with your servant. Deal bountifully with me. I am your servant, Lord. I have been created for you to serve you. Help me then to do just that. Give me what I need. We are utterly dependent on God for His grace. He's been gracious to us to give us His Word. And we need His grace to understand it, to know what it means, to know what it says, to know how it ought to be applied in our life. You and I are to seek to serve this God and to know this God and know how it is to serve Him. That's what our life is to be. Derek Kidner writes that this is life that is worthy of the name. It is found in fellowship with God. That's what our life for 2023 is. We seek life, we seek health and prosperity and bounty is so that we might serve God better. And in one way, to say, Lord, give me everything I need that I might know Your Word better, be able to spend more time in Your Word and not just know it, but keep it. Verse 18, he says, open my eyes. Open my eyes. There's another petition praying for God to teach him and give him that instruction. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from Your law. Again, the dependence on God. Philip Evison writes, he says, spiritual things, said Paul, must be spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2. As Christians, we constantly need God's Spirit to take away all that clouds and dims our understanding of God's Word. We need spiritual discernment. This is not a matter of simple intellectual capacity. Again, boys and girls, as you learn to read, and it's good to pray that God would help you to study well, learn how to read, learn how to put words together, learn how to take those words and make sentences and to read and understand them. But you can also, in those moments, you should be praying that God would teach you how to read His Word, that you can learn to restart reading the Bible, and that you would have a heart that He teaches, that you would not just know how the sentences go together in the Bible, but that you would know what they mean and why they matter. And that's a petition that, brothers and sisters, we never outgrow. You never get too old to pray this prayer. You never reach a point where I've been to seminary for 50 years, and, well, I guess I know it now. I don't need to pray this anymore. I know the Bible inside and out. I've said this before. I remember one of my professors talking about he went to Duke and got his PhD at Duke University, and you know, he was at the Divinity College, and the one professor was talking, he was talking about the book of Romans, and he knew it inside and out. You know, he could read it backwards in the Greek, and you know, and he was talking so convincingly. One student said, put up his hand, said, I am surprised you believe this. And he said, oh, I don't. Who said anything about believing it? This is just what it says. This is what the text says. He didn't believe it. He just knew it. And we need to pray, Lord, open my eyes that we would see wondrous things from Your law. That we would see the beauty of God in His Word. Both, Lord, that You, if you're not in Jesus Christ, if you're not trusting in God, that You would see it in that initial having Your eyes open for salvation. Because we can look at the Word and we can love its beauty in a sense of it fits together. The words are beautiful. People love King James English and you know, it's just, there's just something beautiful about it. And it's used in all sorts of cultural circumstances. But we need the Spirit of God to open our eyes because we can love the Bible in one sense and not love it in the way we ought to. We can think it's a wonderful book for reading. I had a professor of mine in my undergraduate, you know, who as far as I can tell, was not a Christian, but yet he had a reading list, and right there, everyone should read the New Testament. It's so profound. It's so important for our history. It's so important for culture. It's just, and yet not reading it with an eye to understand and see the beauty of God's salvation, to bow the knee to the God who speaks of Himself in the Word. But we also need to see the beauty for the whole of life. We need to pray this prayer because though we may have read the Scriptures 100 times, there's more to glean and learn from it. And we need to pray that we don't just skim the text. That we don't just read it. Oh yeah, I know what this says. I've read this. How many times have I read Psalm 23? I know what it says. Instead of that we would stop, that God would speak to our hearts, that we would slow down and learn and read, that we would have fresh eyes, not forgetting all that He's taught us, but yet not assuming we know all that there is to know about it. The psalmist is not shy to pray to the Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things from Your law. Wondrous. especially a word that's used to describe the great salvation of God of his people in the Old Testament, which points us forward to the New Testament, the wonderful, the most amazing salvation of God through Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sins and the freedom from bondage and slavery. This is something we ought to pray as we pursue the Word of God, understanding it in our private devotions, as we lead our families. This is a prayer to pray, fathers, as you lead your families, well, fathers and husbands, as you lead your families in family worship. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things, and open my family's eyes, but help me to lead them and to teach them. It's a prayer to pray as you come to public worship and hear the Word of God read and preached before you. Derek Kidner again writes, "This is true piety, a love of God, not desiccated or dried up by study, but refreshed, informed, and nourished by it." Praying that we would understand it better. Turn to the Word of God and ask the God of the Word to open your eyes to renew your heart in this year of study. In this new year, prayerfully look to God's Word to receive His instruction, comfort, and protection for living in this world. We need instruction. We also need comfort. That is, we need strength. We need help. We need God's tender mercies toward us. And we find that described for us in the Word of God as well, in verses 19 and 20. "I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me, for my soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times." The language of being a stranger in the earth is familiar language for the Christian. This is not our final home. This is not where we're going to be forever. This is not the place that God has set for us to remain, and we are strangers in the earth. God has called us out of this world so that we might serve Him. Consider that last week with Abram and how he was called out. But he was called out that he might serve God, and so we are called out of this world to serve Him. We're still in the world, but we're no longer of the world when we're trusting in Jesus Christ. We are strangers here. That is, a stranger, this term is somebody who would go to a foreign land where they could perhaps park themselves for a while, but they had no citizenship rights. They had no access to all the benefits that those who lived there, who there was their home, could have. And brothers and sisters, it is dangerous for you and me to try to think we're not strangers here, to try to adapt the practices of this world and to get comfortable here. We're not going to find the comforts we need here. And to try to find them means we're going to have to give up something of our serving our God, of our faithfulness to God. Think of Abram, who went and dwelt in a foreign land. He thought of Lot, who came with him and went, and he went and he saw all the comforts he could enjoy, and he slipped more and more and more until finally he was in Sodom and was one of the important men who sat in the gate of the city and led to his ruin. Don't try to get citizenship rights in this world in the sense of finding spiritual hope and lasting. You know, Israel knew, even in the Promised Land where God had placed them, they knew what it was to be in exile, to be in Egypt before the Promised Land, to be in Babylon after, to recognize that they are still strangers in the world. And Abram himself knew, though God promised him the land, that the ultimate promise was heaven, not any sort of piece of dirt in this world. And what you and I need as we walk as strangers through this world is we need God's Word and God to accompany us through His Word as our sure guide to heaven. The psalmist comes to God. He says, "I'm a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me." He was not saying that because he was afraid God would take his word away from him. But rather, he was saying this as an urgent expression of his need for God. "I need your commandments. I cannot live without them. I cannot live without your word. I cannot live without your revelation." There's an intensity that's picked up in verse 20. "My soul breaks with longing. I'm consumed with longing for your judgments at all times." Judgment there does not mean God's punishments for evil. Judgments there means God's rules, God's precepts, God's teachings, God's righteous word. He longs for God's word, the familiar words from Psalm 42. "As the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Here the psalmist, knowing he comes to God through his word, he longed for him. He's not needy sometimes. He's not needy just at certain times of his life, but he's needy all the time. He needs that word all the time. The zeal you and I need to have for the word of God, to have that word, to need that word all the time. Is this your need? Imagine you woke up tomorrow and the scriptures were gone. You went to try to find your Bible and it wasn't on the shelf. You opened up your phone and the app was deleted and you couldn't find one in the app store. You go to pick up a good Christian book off your shelf and every scripture reference and every quote of scripture was just blank. It was gone. Imagine the horror of that, of thinking about that, thinking that, or finding that, discovering that there's no Word of God anymore. Where is the light for your path and the lamp for your feet? Where is the map for life that God has given to you? Where will you find the instructions, your only comfort in life and death? How will you know about it? How will others find out about it? Now, the word itself, in itself rather, is not the comfort. But it's the God who has given his word to you so you can draw near to him and believe in his promises and hear his hear of the future that he has planned and given to you. And you hear of the Christ through whom all of this becomes reality. You're away from home. You need this love letter from God to remind you of why you're here, what you're to be doing, and how he is going to bring you home to be with him. You need that connection to God. And you and I have access to this Word of God in greater ways than I think any generation previously has had. We have access, of course, in how many Bibles we have in our homes and how many apps we can get on our phones, where we can access it at any time, in any place. And we have, in our own land, the freedoms to come and worship God, to hear the Word read and preached, to have Scriptures with our families, to pray without harassment. Don't despise all of that. I think it's always going to be there, but take the opportunity now to devour the Word of God, to bring it into your life, into your heart, into your mind, even through Scripture memorization. For whatever they can take away, they cannot remove the Word that you stored in your mind. Be in the Word of God. Devour the Word of God. And if you sit here and you tell me, well, I don't feel that zeal. I don't feel like it. That's something to remedy. That's something to pray through. That's something to confess and seek from the Lord. A zeal that this psalmist has, not something you just try to stir inside, but go to the Lord, but still read the Scriptures. Don't sit and put the Bible aside and say, well, I don't feel like it. I'll get to it when I feel like it. That's the same foolishness. It's worse foolishness, actually, than the one who says, I don't feel like eating, so I'm not going to eat anymore. But it is, you still need to eat. You know that if you don't eat, that you're going to become sick. You're not going to become healthier. Well, you're not going to get stronger. You're not going to deal with that. You need to be in the Word of God, even if you don't feel like it. And pray that God would stir your heart to give you that hunger for the wondrous things. Resolve to feast upon the Word of God in 2023 and be comforted and strengthened by God. In this new year, prayerfully look to God's Word to receive His instruction, His comfort, and His protection for living in this world. We've considered the need for instruction and comfort daily, drawn from the Word. We also need God's protection. We need to take refuge in what He says to us in His Word. We desire God's protection. Verses 21 to 24. First, we need protection from the proud, verses 21 and 22. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. There's a contrast here between the one who loves the Word and the one who hates it and despises it. The despiser of God's Word is described in three ways. He's proud, he's full of himself, who needs God's Word, and I've got me. I'm pretty good, and I know lots of things, and I've done my own studying, and they dismiss God's Word. He's full of himself. Not only does he mock God and mock God's Word, but he also will mock those who follow God's Word, who believe in God's Word, who think that God's Word is something to be valued and treasured. This idea of the proud is found throughout Psalm 119 in contrast to the psalmist who loves God's word. This is something that we experience not just individually, but as the church, that those who mock those who follow the word of God, and it's, excuse me, it becomes more and more acceptable to dismiss those who would be so foolish as to hold this to be the inspired, inerrant, infallible word of God. But this proud, this despiser is proud, and related to that, he is cursed of God. He's a cursed one. One who is cursed of God, an enemy of God, and facing the judgment of God for his despising of God. And third, this person, and related to this, is one who has strayed from the word of God. He strays from God's commandments, strays from God's teaching and his commandments for life. He's not only rejected the word, but he's rejected God. And this one is one, this despiser is one who's stumbling around in the darkness, who's stumbling and falling, and who will never get up. Under God's rebuke and God's curse, this is one who is under God's judgment. If you're hearing the word this afternoon and you're rejecting God's word, that comes at an eternal cost to you, an eternal cost to your soul. The call is to come, to be humble, to say, Lord, open my eyes that I would behold wondrous things from your law, from your word. Pray. Come to God in humility. Or perhaps this afternoon you're rejecting, you accept most of the word, but you reject some of it. Some of it's just a bridge too far. It's too much. It's requiring too much of you. It's asking for too much of your life. God is demanding all of you, and you don't want to do that. You are pushing some parts away. You cannot do that with the word of God. He didn't give it to be rejected here and there. He gave it to be received as his whole revelation. And so if you've been pushing away God's word, I'm not saying every part of the word of God is easy to take. I'm not saying every part of it's easy to understand or easy to live. In fact, we cannot live on our own. We need the grace of God every day to follow him. It's part of our taking up our cross and following after Jesus Christ. We need to repent of our stubbornness in obedience and say, Lord, help me. Show me the beauty of the whole of the Scriptures and help me to obey, including those parts that I don't really want to pray about, because if I pray about them, it's going to remind me of where I'm disobedient, where I need to obey. Pray that you'd have the obedience of Jesus Christ, who delighted in the Word of God. I delight, Psalm 40 says, speaking and in the with the mouth of Christ, I delight to do your will. The believer's hope here in verse 22 is praying, Lord, remove from me reproach and contempt. Roll back, literally, roll back the contempt, roll back the scorn, roll back, take away those who would mock and try to discourage me from coming to the Word. It's easy to mock the Scriptures. It's easy to mock the people of God. It's easy to mock from the position of popular opinion and being on the right side of history, so to speak, in terms of how people think. God is never popular. The Bible is never popular. And so it's easy to mock those who would hold to the Scriptures. And you and I can become easily discouraged, depending on your workplace and the setting you're in, depending on even looking around and seeing the powers that be in our world mock with impunity. No one is going, they're not going to really lose, they're not going to lose votes, they're not going to lose anything. We can become easily discouraged. The psalmist resorts to coming to his God. He comes to his God, remove from me reproach and contempt, for I've kept your testimonies. He's not pleading on his merits. He's not saying, Lord, I've kept your testimonies, therefore you owe me something here. But simply what he's saying is saying, Lord, I have kept your testimonies. I've desired to keep your word. I love your word. Enable me to continue to have your word. Please, again, do not take it from me. I need your help, God, that my ability to be in your word the way I want to be would continue. Brothers and sisters, this can be our cry too. There are mockers in the heart and inside and outside. The temptations in our heart to question God's word or to be lazy and not want to not see its value or its importance. Those on the outside who make fun of of you and thinking, well, why do you believe in this? What does this have to say? And they make all sorts of accusations against God's word. You and I need to find strength in our God. We come to Him. We come back to His Word and find Him speak to us through it. And this is something we need together as the church to pray. We need to encourage each other in our study in the Word of God. This is a collective need, not just for ourselves individually. We need to help one another and encourage one another. We are to be a community of God's people who encourage each other, whatever the mocking that comes from the outside, to help each other in dealing with discouragements that can come, but be used to stoke the fire in others, to stir the hearts in others, to study the Word, to be in the Word, to encourage each other to be under the Word and in the preaching, to pray for yourself and pray for others, pray for the church, that we would love God's Word. If God's Word is put aside, if God's Word is overruled by man's opinion, if God's Word is given a lesser and lesser and lesser place in the church, we lose God. We lose our connection to God. We lose our instruction, our comfort, and our protection. We need protection from the proud. We humble ourselves then before God and plead with Him for help. We also need protection from the powerful. In verses 23 and 24, princes also sit and speak against me. The powers that be conspire against the psalmist. Conspire against him who would stand true and firm in the Word of God. This reminds us, no doubt, of Psalm 2, where the kings of the earth gather together against the Lord and against His anointed. This sitting and talking against me is not just people that happen to just make a passing remark. This is the powers that be coming together, conspiring together. The psalmist, though, is in good company. This was our Lord's own experience, the Lord of the Word, the Lord who loved the Word, who believed His Father's Word. This whole section describes our Savior, who, again, Philip Evison writes that Jesus Christ was like a stranger, even among His own people. Well, He kept God's law in the ultimate sense, far more than even the psalmist. Christ kept God's law and loved it. He was despised and scorned, and the rulers of this world plotted against Him. On behalf of others, Jesus also endured the curse of the law. The Jewish and Gentile persecutors who put their trust in Christ and His atoning work might be saved from the coming wrath. Even those who rejected God's Word and mocked Him, yet He became their Savior. Christ lived a life in this world of trusting His Father in all things. We find in Luke 2:52 that as Christ, that He grew in wisdom and stature with God and man. In His humanity, Christ was not born having the whole Scriptures memorized. He had to study it and learn it and love it. And He did with a perfect heart. And so we know as He goes through His earthly ministry, He had studied the Word because He could teach the Word. Through His times in the synagogues, He was preaching the Word as He was preaching to the multitudes. And in that most comprehensive way, in Luke 24:27, to the travelers on the road to Emmaus, starting with Moses, He began to expound the whole of the Old Testament Scriptures and how they pointed to Him. When He was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, He resisted the evil one by quoting Scripture. When the religious leaders of the day wanted to trip Him up and have Him put His foot in His mouth, He responded with the Word of God, "You don't know the Scripture," He said to them. He knew the Word of God. He loved the Word of God. He had a perfect delight in the truth of God. And we need to know and love this Savior, and we need to know and love His Word that we would be protected and able to respond to those who would do us harm. In Ephesians 6:17, in the section that Paul gives on the armor of God, he speaks of the Word. He says, "Put on the sword of the Spirit," which is the Word of God. This is the sword that Christ so wonderfully and perfectly wielded it in his earthly ministry. And it's what you and I need to learn to wield as we study the Word, as we're in the Word, to wield that sword and to put to shame those who would attack, those who would mock, those who would resist God and His truth. We need to love the Word and use the Word. Don't be distracted by the world and its tactics, but focus yourself on God and His Word. Meditate upon it. Look at the psalmist. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. He spent his time in the Word. Worldly meditation empties the mind to try to find some peace. Biblical meditation fills the mind with the Scriptures so that we are able to, we have the truth and the comfort of God and everything we need to respond. Meditate on the Word. Fill your mind. Perhaps that means taking more time on less Scripture. I don't mean as an excuse to neglect Scripture, but to take more time to say, you know, maybe I'm going to read a bit less, but I'm going to take 5 minutes and focus in on this, these one or two verses. Each, I'm going to focus in on one or two verses and pray over those verses and meditate and have try to drain every drop. You're not going to get there in 5 minutes, but you're going to drain more out of it for the soul. That's meditating, thinking, pondering. Take delight in. Psalmist says, your testimonies are my delight. Have joy in the Word. Take pleasure in the Word. Christ did. Do you? Blessed is the man. We read in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Doesn't focus on the world, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. He was protected. And he focused himself upon God's revelation, God's word. The psalmist finally says, your testimonies are not only my delight, but they are my counselors. Imagine this, imagine again, you wake up tomorrow and you, whatever perplexing questions might be on your mind, you had the wisest team of counselors the world has ever known. You had all the wisest men you could talk to, and you had a conference call, and you could throw your problems and they'd give you counsel. Brothers and sisters, you don't have that, I'm sure. I'm sure you have some wise people in your life, but you have the greatest book filled with the greatest wisdom. And you and Christ have been given the Holy Spirit to lead you into all truth. Do you know the privilege of having the Word of God? To the psalmist, these were better than counsel. The Word of God is better than counselors. Are you willing to receive God's counsel? Do you seek it in His Word? It's good to use, you know, when you're studying the Scriptures, it's good to use helps, perhaps a study Bible that helps explain some concepts or things, sets it in context, or understanding how it was in the ancient world and what some things mean. And it's helpful to use commentaries and as you're studying a bit more. But don't use those things and neglect the text. Go to the Word of God. Read the Scriptures itself. Don't just read books about the Word, but read the Word itself with great faith in God and prayer for Him to teach you. You need the Word of God. The world is in flux and turmoil, and it won't end. The flux and the turmoil won't end in 2023 unless Christ returns. What you and I need to do is not fixate ourselves on the turmoil, but on the truth of God's Word. To go back to the Word of God, turn to His revelation with prayer, and seek from Him His protection living in this world, and His instruction, and His comfort. In this new year, prayerfully look to God's Word to receive His instruction, comfort, and protection for living in this world. Brothers and sisters in Christ, my great desire for you is that in this year you would spend better time in the Word of God. Not necessarily more time, but better time. Better quality time. It's my desire for you because it's God's desire for you. God calls you to be in His Word. God calls you to delight in His Word. He's given you His Word not to sit there and look nice, but to be read, reread, studied, meditated on, prayed over. Wear out your Bibles. Plan to read the Scriptures. Set a deliberate course for yourself in 2023. Again, not necessarily more time, but better quality time. Maybe that's tweaking what you have. I said this morning about our approach to planning our life. Maybe we need to tweak how we do things. Maybe we need an overhaul. Maybe that's the same with the Word. Maybe you just need to change a few things. Maybe you need to try something different. We're all different. We absorb information differently. We think differently. But prayerfully consider what your plan. Maybe it's a complete overhaul, a refreshment. Shorter Catechism 90 asks, how is the word to be read and heard that it may become effectual to salvation? As you take up the word, may you keep this in mind. The word is to be read diligently and prayerfully. It is to be received with faith and love. And it is to be laid up in our hearts and practiced in our lives. May God give us the grace for every day in 2023 to take up His word and to love more and more the God who has given it to us. Let's pray. Lord our God, thank you for your wonderful revelation, your truth that has been given to us from you by your Spirit through the pens of men, but perfectly given and perfectly preserved for us. We thank you, O God, that we have it. We have it in so many ways. We have it in our own language. We have it, Lord, with so many helps and with the wisdom of the church in the centuries past to help understand. And we thank you and praise you for it. We do pray that we would then have a zeal for it, that we would not become lazy because of our riches, but that we would, Lord, take advantage of this wealth while we still have it and while we have the opportunities we do. While we have the strength, while we have the time, while we have, Lord, the capacity, whatever it might be, Lord, we pray that we would not assume what we have today will be there tomorrow, but may we take advantage today. We thank you, God, for the opportunity to be under your word this day. We pray going forward that we would continue to be in the word and in the ways you provide, and that your Spirit would continue to teach and instruct. Lord, we thank you for hearing the gospel, reminded of our need for Christ, reminded for our need, Lord, for you to open our eyes that we'd understand the beauties of the gospel taught in the scriptures. Now, Lord, you come to give us the gospel to, as we've come to the word and heard it read and preached, now we see the gospel displayed for us in the Lord's Supper. And we receive, Lord, through simple signs. But we are needy, so strengthen us, Lord, we pray, and enable us through this meal as well to be strong, to be pressing forward with renewed, refreshed strength to serve you. Hear our prayers. You've answered so many already. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.